Thank you, the worship team. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we are here before you. Lord, we thank you for the love that you demonstrated by going to the cross and dying for us. We thank you, dear Lord God, for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, it's your will for us to be in your house to worship you. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch our hearts, open us up to your truth, O God, and may you speak to us in love and in grace. Father, I pray that you will guide me and lead me, even as I share your word with your people. We thank you for our pastor and his family. We pray for them, Lord. May you be with them and continue, Lord, to bless them, even as they continue to bless us. Start with us, dear Lord God, and be with us till the end. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. My name is Gordon Agingo. I'm not a stranger. And I have the opportunity today to stand on the pulpit for Pastor Mike in his absence. And I thank God this morning. I love the Lord. And that's my desire to remain in him. I was preparing and praying about what I need to share with you. And God gave me love. We want to talk about love today. I'm not the expert to talk about love. But I thank God because God has demonstrated that love to us. That while we were sinners, Christ came and died for us. And you know, I was sitting and listening to the songs and I was like, wow, Sydney, did you know what I was going to preach about? And so our text today will be coming from the book of the First Corinthians chapter 13. It's a very famous chapter that is known because it's titled Love. And we'll combine it with reading from 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21, which also talking about love. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 will be our first reading. Then after that, we'll move to John. I have a number of verses that we are going to refer to, and you'll be patient with me. I'm not the best reader. Okay, let's read. It starts, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not loved, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's go to 1 John, first letter of John, chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 7 to 21. The heading: God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us his command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's the word of God that we have today. When we look at the first book that we read, chapter 12, Paul basically talked about the evidence that the Corinthians showed that the Corinthians lacked the love in utilizing all the gifts that God had given them. And that's the spiritual gifts that they were using. In chapter 13, Paul actually defines real love. And chapter 14, he shows how love works. Love makes our actions and gifts useful. Any gift that you have is demonstrated when you're utilizing it in love. People have different gifts, but love is available for everyone. You know, sometimes you can say that I have a gift of preaching, I have a gift of teaching, and those are gifts that God can give anybody. But love is for everyone, because even the gifts that you have, unless you use them in love, they're not going to be beneficial. Paul have different gifts, but love, people have different gifts, as I said, but love is for everyone. So let's rule out, you cannot have an excuse of not loving anybody, because love is for everyone. Loving others is one of the most important and difficult commands Jesus gave us. And I think you will agree that it's difficult. We are messy, broken people and very sinful. We constantly deal with our own wounds and those of others. Because there is no perfect person, the foundation for loving others, as we have read in the scripture, must be based outside of the merit or worth of others. Because when we base the love we're having for others for the things they do or the things that they give us, that will fail. And so we are not basing it on who you are, how good you are, how lovable you are. We are basing it on the love that God has for us. Because there's no perfect person. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. The only perfect person is that person who is dead. So the foundation of love must come from God who is love. You know, we cannot love outside God. As believers, we must constantly tap into the love and grace of our Heavenly Father so that we can love others selflessly and powerfully. Why love? Love explains the whys. I have the five whys that love really explains. And these five whys, and I would say why, is why God loves, why God creates. So the first one is why God creates. God created us because he loves, and he created us to love us. That's why God created us, because he wanted to love us. Why God cares? Because he loves, he cares for sinful people. Why are we free to choose? That's another difficult part. We are free to choose because God wants a loving response from us. That actually shows how much he loves and cares for us. It's not just, you have to do this. We are doing it out of the love that we have for God. And that's why he created us. Why Christ died. He loved us, and because he wanted to seek the solution to problem of sin, that's why Christ died. And the last why, we receive eternal life. God loves and expects us to be with us forever. So those are some of the whys that in the books that we have read, God explained why, you know, that love must come from him. In today's life or culture, tradition, we have different and very confused definitions of love. And this is not something that is new. The Corinthian church has the same problem where they based their love on the things that they were doing, not the love that God had for them. So the confusion we have today between love and lust, that's a huge one. And like lust, God's kind of love is directed outward towards others, not inward towards ourselves. That's the difference between God's love and lust. You know, I'm doing it so that you can do this to me. I'm loving you because you love me. You know, I'm listening to you because you listen to me. It's more of the inward towards myself. I cannot love you unless you're doing something for me. And how many times are people in the state of doing good to others? I don't know about you, but very rarely do I feel like doing good to everybody. There are some people that is so hard to do good to. And that means when they are not doing good things or things I like, I will not love them. And at that particular time, that's my love for them, not the love of the Father. So the kind of love goes against what we can do, you know. The kind of love that is coming from us is a love that you have to do something for me to love you. And that's the natural kind of love that we have for one another. We always want to do that. It is possible to practice this love only, the love of God, only if we are in God, because God himself is love. You know, I was just thinking about love. Every family unit, and I'm going to really base this topic today on family, as a unit, where God demonstrated what love is. And I'm thinking about when people start relationships, it starts with love. You know, Beatrice is not here, I can say that. When I fell in love with Beatrice, I had to do everything that I could in my power to win her. Okay? So that love was so, I mean, I could not. During that time, the telephone, I mean, we didn't have this cheap nationwide call. You had to pay to call outside the state. I mean, it was a lot of money. And as a student, I tried, and I was doing that. I could sacrifice anything. And because of the love that I developed for her, and I worked in making that love work. I think about parents. As a parent, okay, God brought us to that unit of a wife and a husband. And when we had our first kid, the joy we had, the love that we had for that girl, I mean, everything around us, we couldn't even sleep. At night, the first day we brought her home, you know, any noise is like we want to check. It's like, guys, one of you need to sleep, you know. So everything was centered about our girl because we loved her. You know, so to say that we didn't have love, that's not right. We loved everything, even the worst thing that she could do, we still loved her. I don't know how many of you parents here had times when you didn't expect them to throw up or to mess themselves up, and they did it anyway, and you still love them. So there was just love that was demonstrated in that unit of a family. And this love also is being demonstrated in the way when we have good news like our child is wedding or anything, graduating. I mean, we just have that love. It's just being demonstrated in the way we carry ourselves and we act. The other side of this love that is so difficult to accept sometimes is when they mess up. You know, as a parent, you can't ignore, rather neglect or, you know, forsake them. They're your kids. You still love them anyway. Do they really understand that you love them? Maybe, maybe not. But that kind of love, God made it possible in the family unit because God values the family. So it's not one of those things that we can say we don't have. So that's a clear evidence that this is a gift that God has given everybody. We are wired to love one another. So in not loving one another, there is a problem somewhere. And that's the problem that started at the Garden of Eden, when people separated from God, because this love comes from God alone. You know, we cannot love outside God. And so today, as we talk about this thing, I want us to think about the readings in both chapters of the Bible that we read, 1 Corinthians 13 and the book of John, 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21. So Paul was struggling with the church, trying to help them understand what this love is. And here in the book of John, it's being shown to us that this is not love that we can demonstrate by doing things to people or because they are doing things to us. But it's love that comes because God, who we trust in, who created us, is love. So as I said, it's one of those hard things to do. Love involves unselfish service to others. It shows that you care. The best place to practice love or to show love, as I said, is in our families. When we hear news of our loved ones going through hard time, there's pain, even for somebody that you don't want to talk to. I've never gone to a family funeral where people are talking about the bad that the person did. And that's another show, a demonstration of how love between us as families are so tight and glued together. It doesn't matter what wrong they have done, we love them anyway. So the family is one of the units where God actually has demonstrated and shown how loving and how love needs to work. So God cares and loves family, and there are evidence from each and every book in the Bible. I know people have wronged us. They have rubbed us wrong way. Some of us do have wounds that are created by our family members. And it's so difficult to love. Even when we think about loving them, it's just so difficult. But I want us to remember one thing. God values family and wants us to show and give love to each and everyone in our family. There is no way that we can practice that love that Christ has given us if we don't love ourselves in our families. I will say that in our families, people take a lot. You know, we take a lot from each other because we take people for granted, you know. And so this love starts lacking right from where we are in our families, where people start taking people for granted. You know, kids take parents for granted. Sometimes parents take kids for granted. And because of that, we don't practice this love in the very unit where God has given us the opportunity to practice love and where love exists. And so we have not done what we need to do to come out and demonstrate that love to the world. Because right where we are with the people that we love, the people we care about, we are at times taking them for granted. In the book of Exodus 20 verse 12, God started with the parent. He said, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Now we are seeing the parents coming in picture. That's the head of the family. And parents are special, and they have special place for God. In God's sight, God wants us to start showing love right with them. We love them not because of the things they're doing for us, but we love them because they are our parents, and God wants us to love them. So whatever we are doing, we are honoring them, we are respecting them, not because we have to, because the have to part of it is so difficult. We are doing that because we love them. And that's the same thing. We are serving God, we are worshiping God, because we love God. That's the connection even with the parents, honoring our parents. God wants us to do that. One of the most direct examples, as I said, of the kingdom of God on earth is the family. I mean, it's so difficult. I don't know about you, but it's so hard to talk to people who don't have a family. Even when you are trying to talk to them, you can't relate. I cannot relate. Most of the time, I meet people who don't have anybody in their family. Most of you heard about the plane that dropped in Ethiopia. There's this man that was waiting for his wife who had been with his kids his daughter that he had not seen for many years. And so the mother went to visit them in UK, and the mother extended her stay because they wanted all to come home. So the mother, the daughter, and the three grandchildren were coming, and they were in that very plane. And when the plane went down, this guy, of course, you know, he was just done. But he recently was testifying. Of course, they are giving millions, but he said there's nothing that can replace this. In his testimony, he was talking about what this family meant to him and still means to him. And so I'm giving that example in just helping us to understand that it's so hard not to have a family. And we have people who don't have a family. We may not have them physically. Sometimes we don't have them emotionally because they are not there to support us. And so it's so difficult when it comes to that, even as we say. And when you're talking about love of family, you have to be very careful because some people don't know what family is. And that also makes it very difficult. But as believers, we must choose to continually love. That's a choice you have to make. That's a choice I have to make as a believer. Why? Because God is love. Why? Because God loved me anyway. You didn't do anything. I didn't do anything to deserve God's love. But God loved me, and he loves me. The second thing we need to remember and continually do is to forgive. There's no way that we can love without forgiving. And actually, if you want to measure the level of love you have for somebody, see how easily you forgive them when they wrong you.
That will be a good yardstick of measuring your love for the other people. And you won't be expecting anything in return from them, even when they do wrong. It's that kind of love that, you know, I'm forgiving you, but don't do this again. You know, because we have those kind of conditional love. The love that God wants us to have, must have and continue to seek, is to be able to help each other. You know, we have to help. So we love, we forgive, we help. And the last one, we have to pursue strong relationship with those God has given us in our lives, especially in our family. It doesn't come naturally. Okay, the more time you spend together with one another, the more love you'll be able to feel or give. So there are a lot of things that is fighting that love. I mean, robbing us of that time, the quality time. We don't have that quality time because of many things that are happening. Started with the work schedule, sometimes may not allow you to have the quality time that you want to have with your family members. Sometimes we choose to do that. You know, we spend more time on other things that are not important. And so that robs us of the relationship that we need to build with one another. And actually, that's where most time we feel the pain, because when these people go, we regret not having spent much time with them as we wanted to, because of the things that we consider to be more important than that relationship. So we have to pursue that strong relationship that can only come when we are spending time together. You must not take your family for granted, because you are not a member of that family by mistake. As you know, we had opportunity to go home and be with my mom. He's about 95, he's turning 95. And I was telling the Sunday school this time that actually I was a mama's boy. And most of my time I spent with my mom. I did not go. Out of the 9 kids in my family, everybody went to boarding school except me. So I was with my mom all the time. And one of the things that I came to know in being with my mom is that she loves all her children unconditionally. And it took some time for me to realize that. You know, when you are at home with mom, as I said all the time, you can hear how she talks about other kids, especially when they are blundered, when they do something stupid, you know. But the old time was there. I mean, there is always something that shows she loves them anyway. Until very recently, even very recently when we were at home, I came to realize that. Because she has 9 kids, and she can be there the whole day without anybody calling her. And she thinks about them each and every single day. And, you know, when I was sitting with her, and it's like, anytime you talk to her, it's like, how's so-and-so doing? This is not going right. But, I mean, she thinks of them all the time. And she thinks she's still the one in control of their life. And that actually shows love. You know, we were home with Wally. And, I mean, for us, we have to do everything. I mean, my mom would still tell me to go to the kitchen and do the fire thing, which is so difficult to do because you have to light the woods together and put them together. And she expects me to, when the guests come, to go and start the fire and make tea or make food and give to them. Okay? And I'm in my 50s. And so we were saying with my wife that, you know, mom forgets that we are adults and we're controlling our own home. Because, so even coming here, she's blind, and we can see what's happening. She doesn't really have to tell us to do that. But, you know, it was part of that love. You know, she wants things to go right for us. And so the love that our parents do have for us, we should not take it for granted. It's that love that God has given them for us. And of course, when we look at Psalms 139, verse 13, it says, For you formed me inward parts, my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. God formed you perfectly in your family. That's what I meant by saying how family is important. You know, God planned for you to be part of that family. And so there's no way that we are going to demonstrate love of God outside if we cannot demonstrate it within our families. That's the first place. That's the first step where we demonstrate this love. Your Heavenly Father knows how messed up your family probably is. He knows their weaknesses. He knows the trials that you're facing in trying to love them. He knows the temptations that you're facing in trying to love them. He knows how much they have wounded you, how much they have wronged you. But he also longs to empower you with grace to love them anyway. He longs to use you to restore your family to him so that you might experience the wonders of God-filled family relationship. It's so important for us to love one another and have that relationship. Why is that important? Charity begins at home. There's no way that I will be trying to love people outside here if I don't love my family. I have to love my family. Love is not, it's an action. What you do most is what you'll be best at. So if you're good at hating people, you'll be really good in doing that. If you're working hard to be good in loving people, you'll be good at it. And that's why we need God constantly. The scripture is filled with commandments about the family unit. So one of them I just read, honor your father and your mother. The other one moves down to the wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord. And that's Ephesians 5:22. And later it talks about husbands. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Proverbs 17, verse 6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the age, and the glory of children of their family is their family. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than unbeliever. And finally, in the book of Leviticus 25:35 says, if your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall support him as though he were a stranger and a sojourner, and he shall live with you. God clearly values family, church. So we have to work hard and trust God to love family the way God wants us to love them. The commands of Scripture are not suggestions. You know, most of the time we think that God is just suggesting that we love. It's a command. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's a command. We have to love. You know, God is love. That's what we read in the Scripture. And when God is love and God is in us, we have to love just the way he loves. So we cannot neglect that, you know. It's a strong commandment, and that's why I said it's one of the hardest commandments that Christ has given us. God knows there are wounds, actually, as I said. You know, I work with people that at times when they sit down and talk to you about why they don't call their families or why they can't go back to seek help from their families, they rather stay in under the bridge than going back to seek help from the parents. And it's painful. If you are a father and you are on the street and your daughter or your son is on the street, it's more painful than when you are on the street. I've sat with old men crying like babies when they're talking about their life on the street and their children or grandchildren being on the street. And the point is that they know exactly what takes place when you are on the street. And anytime that happens to them, you know, the love that they have for their kids is kind of awakened, because they know exactly what's going on. And that's the love that the parents do have for their children. God is calling us to a lifetime of grace-filled love for those he has specifically given to us. So God has given you that opportunity to love. God is the one that is going to teach you and show you how to love. He will provide for you all the courage that you need, the strength, the power, the grace you need to love these people. There's nobody like unlovable. Church, I just want to be very honest that this time, we as church, we have failed because we don't show love. In many ways, we have failed. And we need to cry out to the Lord, because that love is not being demonstrated among ourselves as Christians, in our church, in our homes, in our community. So we need to really cry out to the Lord, because the Bible is commanding us, God who is in us is love. And we cannot love without God. He longs to help us love our families and bring restoration. Have patience with people. God has a lot of patience with us. We cannot love unless we are patient with other people. It's okay. I mean, they will mess up. We do mess up. We mess up. God looks at us. It's like we are really messed up. We were in marriage conference, and so people were talking about how children are messed up, and this is frustrating them, frustrating their relationship. And the teacher on that morning asked, "Do you know how many messed up children God do have? You're one of them. We are all children of God, and we are messed up. And God is the perfect father." That resided so well with me. And I say, who am I? Who are you? To have the perfect, when God, who created you and is the father of all and the best father, has messed up kids like us. So allow people, be patient with people. You know, it's not the end of the world. Pray for them constantly, you know, and love them as the Lord loves you. And passionately, faithfully, and gracefully given himself to you. When God wanted to demonstrate his love for us, he sent his son, his only son. He gave the best to demonstrate that love for us. We need to give our best. And there's nothing better than being patient with those that you want to love. They will do mistakes. They are human, just like you. We didn't do anything to deserve the love that God has for us. God loves us. He loves us all the time. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. So even as I wind up, I want us to meditate about that very love. Is it something that easy to do? No. I struggle with it every single day. When things don't go my way, I'm the worst person to be around. And I struggle with that. I may not say it, but inwardly I'm struggling. Why can't you just do it this way? So I have to surrender all the time. I have to call on God to help me. And not only for God to help me, but also to take the steps, because love is an action. I hate lazy people. It's strange to hear somebody say that from the pulpit, because especially when you're speaking about love and you say use the word hate. And that thing I discovered when working with people, the people who just don't want to be people of integrity. We come to work, you work, you better do what brought you here. Don't waste your time. Okay? And so even the people I work with, I don't want to follow people back and forth, because I have my job to do, they have their job to do. They're not babies, I'm not babysitting them. So I always don't like lazy people. But one thing that God has taught me to have a peaceful day and to demonstrate the love of God is praying for them. And the Lord has helped me to look at the good in them than the bad in them. And that has really been helpful for me. And I want to tell you, the reason why I'm giving you that example, that we have to do something. Whatever weakness you have, even in loving other people who are hard to love, know that you cannot love them by your own strength. You have to seek God, because God is the one who teaches you how to love. So I pray. I pray for the people I work with. I pray for the people I'm in contact with. Before I start my day, that's one thing I'm really asking. God help me. But in going back to God, going to God, I realize that I cannot do it on my own. So I'm saying this, that as we think about the love that God has for us and love that God wants us to show to other people, let's allow him and allow the scripture to influence the way we view the importance of loving one another, especially the importance of loving our family members. The scriptures that I read them ask about that. So meditate about those things. When the Bible says honor your parents, when the Bible says wives submit to your husband, when the Bible says husbands love your wives, you know, let's meditate about those things. What's God saying? And how can I do it? And not only that, but to seek him to teach us and to help us to show that. The second thing that we can do is pray for your family. Pray for each family member specifically and ask God to meet and bless them. As you pray for them, allow the Lord to fill you with grace and love. Allow God to fill you with knowledge on how he feels about them. When you can ask God and trust God to reveal to you how he feels about your wife, how he feels about your husband, how he feels about your children, you'll come to conclude that God loves them more than you love them. And God wants the best for them. And God has the power to do that. Most of the time, the words of our mouth are destructive. You know, we say things that we regret when we are back to our normal senses. You know, what we tell, or rather what we say about people, is what we see in them. We start speaking negativity about them, we always be seeing the negative things about them, not the positive things about them. And that's one thing that we can ask God when we are praying for our family, when we're praying for the people around us. We need to seek God and ask God to help us see them the way God sees them. God loved us when we were still sinners, and he sent Christ to come and die for us. There's nothing good we did, church, for God to love us the way he loves us. It's by grace he loves us that way. The third thing that I will pray and ask God for us to do is to ask God to empower us to love family well today. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about next week. Today is the day. Even as we're here this morning, how should we love our family well? God wants us to do it and do it well. Not halfway. You might say it's hard. It's hard to do. Philippians 3, a verse that all of us know very well. Ask him to give you a creative way to love them. Because you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can love through Christ who strengthens me. And I want us to think of the scripture we read. It's not love that is coming out of us. It's coming out of God. It's God that gives us that love. So, is it easy to say we love God if it cost us nothing? Yes. So long as we don't have to pay a thing to it, so long as it doesn't cost us anything, it's easy to do that. I can say I love God. What does it cost me? Nothing. But real test of your love for God, for your family is how we trust the people he has placed in front of us. How are we treating the people that the Lord has brought our path? That very person in front of you, how, that very person next to you, how do you treat them? That's the real test. Because you know what? God knows exactly how you love them. If you love them 1%, God knows you love them 1%. If you love them 100%, God knows you love them 100%. How do we love our families? How do we love our fellow believers? How do we love strangers? How do we love our schoolmates? How do we love the people in our community? We can't truly love God while rejecting to love those he created in his own image. It's impossible. So as the church of God, this is what God wants us to do. We are loving because God loved us. So as you grow in your close to God, in your walking with God, may you ask God to help you grow in loving your family well. Look to Jesus as your role model. The way Christ loved us is the way he wants to love one another. He loved us and actually ensured that when he was here on earth, he loved all those around him perfectly. Sometimes he would speak the truth in their life. Other times, he would rest with the people who simply needed him around him. Other times, he would provide for their physical needs. And the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom into exactly how to love others and love your family. It's not impossible. He can do it. So open your heart and ask him to help you do those things. So even as we live today, it's my prayer that the Lord will teach us how to love one another. And above everything, how to love our family. It's important. God's love is the source of all human love. And it spreads like fire. In loving his children, God kindles a flame in their hearts. In turn, they love others who are warmed by God's love through them. So people are going to love God because of how you act and show God's love around them. There's a famous song, and they will know that we are Christians by our love, when we love one another. There is no way that I can love without Christ in me. If you realize how messed up you were and God loved you and accepted you anyway, you will know how much it's important to love that person that you feel is so messed up. The world needs our love. And God wants to use you. God wants to use me to demonstrate that love in a world where the hatred is what is being flamed. God wants to use you, and it begins with the family. God has not made the people in your life without a purpose. He brings people in your life for a purpose. Let's live and learn how to love, and that love will not come from you or from anybody else, but from God. We love because God first loved us. And so, church, God wants us to love. How are we going to love without loving him? We go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the only way we are going to be able to love one another. That's the only way we are going to be able to know how to pray for one another and to demonstrate that love as we live here on earth. It's my prayer that today as we live here, we live knowing the amazing love that God has for us and how he wants that amazing love to spread because in doing that, people will come to the kingdom of God. We have a team in Belarus right now that if it's not because of that love, they won't leave the comfort of their homes to go there and spread the word. We have people in foreign lands that have lived the comfort of the great America to go there because of the love of Christ. What has the love of God made you to leave behind? This week I was reading an article from one of my friends, and actually the guy also posted it on our Facebook. And we have this dear friend and brother in Christ. He's blind. And so this friend went to see him one time, and when they walked in the house, the brother turned on the light. And so in thinking, he asked him, "Reginald, why are you turning on the light, yet you don't need it?" And so he laughed. He didn't say a word. He just laughed. And he turned off the light, went to the kitchen, and he made tea. Kenyan tea is not the one you pop in the coffee maker and you bring out. I mean, it involves some work. You have to boil the tea. Boil the water, put the tea, the loose tea in it, put the milk, make the milk cook, you know, so that means it will come up. So you have to monitor that. So this guy went and did all that and put the tea in a kettle, put the tea in a cup, brought the tray and walked with the tea and some other things, cookies on it. And when he walked back to the room, he turned the light on as he placed the tea in front of this friend of his. And he didn't answer the question that the friend asked him, "Why are you turning the light on?" So while the friend was drinking the tea, he thought about it. And the guy said, "You know, when you walked in, I turned on the light, and you asked me why I turned on the light. And the answer is that you needed it. I didn't need it. And now I turn it back on because you need it. I don't need it." And the question was, how many times do you turn on light for somebody else, even if you don't need it? Lines up with the love. Because when you want to love the people who love us, what's the difference? How many times have we loved the way Christ loved, even the people who are impossible to love? So this time, church, I want us to pray that the Lord will help us and teach us how to love one another and how to love family the way God wants us to love them, so that we can be the light and the salt of the world that Christ died for, so that nobody goes to hell and face the judgment because the walk we had as Christians did not meet the expectation that they have for us as Christians. So I will ask us just to bow down. You know your family, you know where you're struggling. If you're not a believer, know that it's not going to be easy to love without accepting this love that the Lord has given you. If you have people that are just so hard in your life to love, let's trust God that he will teach us how to love. So as Sydney comes and we go before the Lord, I want us to pray along those areas. So I would ask you to spend some time just pray. You know yourself, you know your family, you know the desires of your heart concerning the love that the Lord wants you to have for them. And this is the time we're going to pray and ask God to do that. While we are doing that, if you need any prayer, please come. I'll be able to pray with you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you above everything for the love that you have for us, that you demonstrated by sending your only Son to come and die for us. We thank you, Christ Jesus, for going to the cross and dying for us. And even today, you are interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. We thank you for giving your Holy Spirit to guide and to teach us on how to love and how to demonstrate who you are in our lives. Help us this morning, Lord God, even as we learn about love, we pray that your Spirit will continue to convict us and help us in the areas where we have failed. We love you, Father, and we just want to surrender to you, that you be with us and guide us and teach us. For in Jesus' name I pray, amen.